praise for this month. We have been teaching on the word praise all month long. We are going to conclude this message today. There's two passages of scripture that we would like to extrapolate and pull them together as it relates to praise. The first passage of scripture is going to be from Psalms 150. We were focused on verse number 6 all month as a theme. But today we are going to stand. We will be focused on the whole entirety of Psalms 150 as it deals with praise. It is my prayer that God would bring the revelation to you of how significant and how potent praise is. It is something that God has placed inside of you and that he pulls out of you. Some news that you have to understand is sometimes it takes a real, real rugged situation to get a praise out of you. It is not that God has been mad at you, but he wants that praise that he placed in you out of you. There are some other points that I really need to try and get to you, and I really want you praying today because I really want the Holy Spirit to pull what he has for you out today. How many of you need a word from God? Psalms 150, if you would turn to the book of Psalms 150, after that we will go over to Luke chapter 19. Psalms 150, that is the very last psalm that is written. This book of Psalms is the book of joy. It is a book that you can read as and help you rest assured that God is on your side. And there's nothing too big for him that he has not already equipped you to defeat. Shout victory. That's what you have, and don't forget that. As we go over, when I get to the sixth verse, we will stop and we'll read that verse together. Let's pray. All wise and eternal God, it is you that has drawn us all here today. Some wandered in, Lord God. Some came in charge, ready and thinking about you and on fire. Some, Lord, were just obedient to be here. And Father, whatever reason why we got here today, we know it is you that brought us here. Father, you're the God of revelation, and we just know that you could reach everyone at the same time. Therefore, Lord, we ask that you would break down every barrier, every wall of division, everything that is causing us not to focus on you. Father, we ask that you would bind any hindering spirit that will try to interrupt your word today. And Father, you said we have it if we ask. Therefore, we thank you for binding everything and bringing us together in a oneness. Now, Father, you said he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So, Lord, we are waiting on your Spirit to come and speak to the hearts of your people. Lord, we have shouted out a word and we would praise you every day. Father, help us to keep our word that we would praise you every day, whether the sun's shining or whether it is raining, whether it is night or whether it is day. Lord, we want to praise you. And Father, as I stand here as your servant, only a vessel, God, I ask that you would consecrate me now and make me fit to be used by you. For Lord, if you don't come, then we can't hear. So push Felix out of the way and keep him there. And Lord God, let your Spirit manifest that we hear only from you. And we promise to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Verse 1 of Psalms 150 says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him. Praise in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of a trumpet. Praise him with the lute of a harp. Praise him with the tremble and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let's read the last one together. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I like when it said praise him with the cymbal, and then it said praise him with the clashing of the cymbal. That means they don't even have to be on beat. Just make a noise that only God can understand. Amen. We want everything to be so perfect. I like when people mess up. That just gives room for God to show up. Shout, I'm not perfect. Mm-hmm. And if your imperfections show, that gives room for his perfections to show up. Amen. Now turn to Luke chapter 19, verse 28. Amen. We got a praiser in here. Mm-hmm. Babies aren't afraid to praise. Mm-hmm. We ought to learn something from the baby. Verse 28. We there? Amen. All right. When he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he drew near Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite of you. Whereas you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus shall you say to him, because the Lord has need of it. Loose it. When you find it, loose it. King James said that you would find the fold of an ass tied up. Sometime we get tied up when we're acting like the fold of a donkey. But Jesus sent somebody to loose you. Now get this. It says, if the owner asks, tell him Jesus has need of it. Listen, if the devil asks, what are you trying to do? Winning a soul over to Christ, tell him Jesus had need for him. What you going to do with this drug addict? He's mine. Jesus has need of him. Now verse 32. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owner of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus and they threw their clothes on the colt. Now notice, when they told the owner that Jesus had need of it, the owner didn't have nothing to say. Mm-hmm. So as you listen, stop doubting. When God tells you that he's going to lose somebody, go and pray for him. Don't even doubt it. And if it don't look like it's going to happen, then turn to the enemy and say, Jesus has need of it. Loose him and let him go. Mm-hmm. And they said, and the Lord has need of him. They brought him to Jesus and they threw their own clothes on the colt and they set Jesus on him, and as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near, say he's getting close, as he was drawing near the descent of Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice. He wasn't even there yet. And praise God with a loud voice for the almighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Check this out. And some of the Pharisees, the religious folks, called to him from a crowd. Teacher, they're calling Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples for getting their praise on. But Jesus, he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. If you don't praise, expect some rocks to start praising. Because he's going to get praise some way, somehow. It said, if you don't praise, the stones will immediately cry out. That only emphasizes that God has to be praised. And if the stones are going to cry out, that's what I want to instruct you today. Just let it out. Every one of you have got praise inside of you. And God wants you to let it out. Tell your neighbor, let it out. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Got all this praise up in us. And some of us are afraid to praise. I can't just praise God like that. There's too many people looking. Well, that bothers me on certain levels because God does everything for you. But you can't praise him. But you can praise a football or a baseball or a basketball team that don't do nothing for you. It is even so that we have become so worldly that we grasp a favorite team. And if our team don't win, we get an attitude. Want to get mad because your team didn't win a game. How crazy is that? We've got one life to live. I don't want to waste a second being mad. Hey, listen, I don't want to waste a second being mad so much so that I get up every day and practice smiling at myself. I do. I get in the mirror. Because I know that the world is going to try to do something to bring me down. And if I could get my smile on and get that in my memory bank and know I look better when I smile anyway, then the next time he comes in, I can just turn up my smile and get my own self happy. I'm not saying you can't get mad. Everybody gonna get mad every now and then. But we would be fools to walk around mad. Getting mad at something, just walking around all mad. Most of the stuff we get mad at don't have no control over us, but we give it control over us. You just as happy and something happens that really don't even matter. All of a sudden you just as happy, boom. Walking around, just mad, all puffed up. I just want to stick a pin in you and pop you. Mad about stuff. And see, the thing about mad makes you nuts. Last time you got mad, it didn't do you no good. You start talking crazy. Then when you got happy, then you start apologizing. Because we've been tricked, living in deception. God has given us so much power. And if you understand that you have peace and joy that nobody could take away from you, that's why I don't have a favorite team. Except for the one who win. Because I'm going to celebrate every time a game is played. Invite me to the party, expect a celebration. Because my team always win. I'm undefeated. Ever since I chose Jesus, I became undefeated. People say, you just a bandwagon. I know I'm not no bandwagon. I'm a fan. I'm a true fan. I'm a winner fan. Ride that wave if you want to. And so we don't understand that these are tricks of the enemy. He uses stuff to make a fool out of us. And then we become so foolish and we don't really understand how valuable praise is. When I was a kid, I was playing baseball and I had hit the ball and I was running. And I'll never forget, as I was rounding second base, I was hearing the praise coming from the audience. My little legs took off faster than I thought. Man, I was running like Flash, Speedy Gonzales. I was moving because there was a praise in the atmosphere. Now, get this. They believed that if I ran hard, I hadn't even made it home yet. I was just rounding second. But there were some people that believed that I would make it home. And so they began to shout. And I'm lining this up with the text because Jesus had not even arrived yet. But there were some people that believed that he was coming. And when they believed that he was coming, they began to praise, because praise will make it speed up a little bit. And when the disciples started praising, they knew that Jesus was coming more quickly. And what am I saying? If you want Jesus to come quicker in your situation, stop talking about it and begin to praise him. He's on his way!
Praise God! Hallelujah!
Jesus, God says that David is a man after my own heart. And David, he begins to write this book of Psalms, and he's talking about praise. And sometimes people will tell you, oh, you don't have to do all that. They don't know what you're going through. Everybody's going through something different. And so Jesus is coming. Disciples are amongst religious folks. That means that everybody come to church. Everybody don't have a relationship with God. Because when you get into relationship with God, you don't care who look at you.
Hallelujah.
So you can be getting your praise on and God tell you they're looking at you. You'll turn around and look at them and praise even harder.
Hallelujah.
That praise, just let them know that praise was for you. Because not only does it help you, it helps the ones that are around you. Do you know that praise confuses the enemy? And sometimes we start getting crazy thoughts. I got to share something with you. There are spirits in the air. And when you begin to speak the wrong thing, you are inviting spirits that do not even come around you. You invite them in. It's almost like you trying to be on the straight and narrow, and you walk past drug dealers and say, come hang with me. When you speak the wrong thing into the atmosphere, you are pulling spirits into your realm. What am I saying? I mean, you know that complaining that you do? That is not of God. As a matter of fact, he hates complaining. So the moment you start complaining, you are inviting spirits into your realm. Then you start thinking crazy. I know you might not understand this, but pray about it, because the Holy Spirit hovers over the air waiting for the things that come out of your mouth. And the things that come out of your mouth align up with the will of God. Then those spirits come down into your situation. And that's why you have such peace, because you are speaking the right word unto God. And those spirits come down into your situation. That the moment you start complaining, then things seem to be getting worse, because you are pulling the wrong spirits down into your situation. Then you start talking crazy and thinking crazy. It would be crazy for you to see your son rounding second base and you start saying, oh, he never gonna make it. He probably gonna slip and fall. Basically, that's what we're saying when we start complaining. How is it that we serve a God that has chose us to be his sons and daughters? We are under the kingship of God. That means he's in charge of everything in our life. We're royal. He's our royal majesty. Dominion and power reigns over him. And everything that happens only can happen because you're underneath him. And the power of God is over you. And so everything that happens in your life, God is over it. So why should we complain when we can just praise unto God and change everything? A lot of times people think pastors just, they happy because they got it all peaceful. Every demon in hell be scratching on my windows and trying to knock at my door. What do? I just don't answer. He got to tend to his business and I'm going to tend to mine. Knock while you want to. I'm going to get my praise on. Hey, God. Ho, hell. Because when we begin to praise God, confusion messes the enemy up. That the enemy hates praise so much that he tries to restrict your praise. So he delivers trouble to your situation. And trouble comes and we get tricked because we've been used to the world system. But you no longer belong to the world system. You belong to the kingdom of God. Now you operate in kingdom living. So then, if trouble comes, it is not to freak you out. It's for you to faith out. Which means that you do not focus on the trouble. Because the trouble will make you worship it. I'll never worship trouble. Yes, you did when you didn't go to sleep because you were thinking about it so much. Your thoughts were consumed by the trouble. And God says, I want your thoughts too. I want all of you. Give me your thoughts. If you're having trouble sleeping, open up your Bible and meditate on the word until you get yourself happy.
Hallelujah.
We forget that he's a deliverer. We forget that he's a redeemer. We forget that he's a provider. Selective amnesia. You want to focus on that dumb stuff because you've been conditioned by the world. But in the name of Jesus, I claim a loose spirit, and who the spirit is setting free is free indeed. No longer will you be worldly minded, but you shall be kingdom minded. Release a praise in this place. This writer, he's a man. God said he's a man after my own heart, and he is so focused on praise that there's some stuff that happened to you in your life that made you want to curl up in knots and not say nothing. And I gotta give you some breaking news, men, and that's why we have a men's ministry. And God's doing something deep with men right now. Because men have been so prideful in their life because they were taught that men have to be strong and puffed up and tough. That don't mean that you have to be the always right. And that don't mean you have to make it all about you. I want to talk to the sisters for a minute. Have you ever just told a man something and then he just, for whatever reason, just began to talk about himself like it was about him? And you wonder, where'd the conversation go? See, y'all can relate, right? See, I'm one to admit it because God had to help me. Always thinking this about, and then we want to have the answer to everything. You know,
sisters be trying to talk to the man want to give her an answer. Most of the time, they don't want no answer. They just want you to listen. Quit trying to be everything. Some of y'all men sitting there repenting right now. But by nature, we struggle. We struggle because of the issue of pride. And so we want to be right. And really the only right is to choose Jesus to be your Lord. I didn't say choose him to be your Savior. I said choose him to be your Lord. Because I'm going to tell you, I want to talk to every man for a minute. I'm going to tell you something right now. Because men come to me all the time talking about what's going on. I'm going to talk to every man right now. And woman, don't use this against them either. Anything going wrong in the house is your fault. God says that he's given man dominion. God said that he can bind the strong man. So that no spirit could get, my wife just got a spirit. Yeah, well, it's your fault because it wouldn't have gotten to her if you would have been in your right place because God given you. Y'all don't stone me. Don't stone me. Don't you remember when sin broke loose on the planet, even though Eve went and picked the fruit and brought it back to Adam after she had ate it of herself and then said, here, eat this, baby. Now, look, if your woman look all good and stuff and she makes something for you, you going to eat it too. But God didn't blame her. He said, I am. Where are you, Adam? He knew where Adam was. Adam said, I'm naked. I was afraid, so I hid. God said, come here, Adam. I got to fix this. First thing he did, he fixed Adam. He cursed the ground. He cursed the serpent. But he wouldn't curse his people. He just said, Adam, I got to fix you. Because if I get you fixed, you won't let her wander again. Because if you would have been with me, I don't know where Adam was, but if he would have been with God, God would have protected his wife from the serpent that was waiting on her. If any man is spending time with God and praising God, he'll protect the whole house. Sit down. We got a couple more minutes. The enemy does not want you to know how significant, how potent, and how powerful your praise is. Because he is literally afraid of a praiser. The Bible says that the enemy hates praise so much that it causes the enemy to get confused. To the point that if you read 2 Chronicles chapter 20, when the praise went up, the enemy began to fight one another and kill one another. And when God's people showed up, they didn't even have to fight because they had already fought with a praise. Are there any praisers in the house? So then, on Palm Sunday, the Sunday before the resurrection, on Palm Sunday, Jesus is coming. The disciples and all the other believers, the followers of Christ, were gathered together. While they were gathered together, Jesus was on his way. Now, here is something that you really got to get in your spirit. If you know that Jesus is going to be with you no matter what, If you know that your situation is only temporary, that Jesus is a savior, that he saves you and he's able to save you from anything that you are going through. Then if you know that Jesus is only allowed what's happening so that he could stand up and reveal his glory, because all through the Bible, every time that God's people got in trouble, it was only so God can show up and show his power. So the only reason why trouble gets to you is not because God is mad at you. It's because God's in love with you. So he's going to show his glory in your life. If you can get excited about going through the trouble instead of looking at the trouble and letting it bring you into depression, if you tell the enemy, now you can tell the enemy, that's a lie from the pit of hell. I know that God's going to rescue me, and I'm going to praise God because my praise will bring God in, and I need him in. I know he's on the way, but I need him in, so I'm going to pray. Hail God. Can you imagine folks around you don't have no bill trouble and you struggling with a bill? They don't have no credit problems and you can't get credit nowhere. They driving nice cars and you trying to flag down a ride, and they get next to you and be trying to look, tell you, you don't need to go to church. Look at my life. Do you understand? And then they wobble themselves into church and try and get a seat close to you and sit down and cross their legs and act all dignified while you are coming unglued. It seems like their life is blessed and you going through the test. But your test is not to pass you or fail you. It is to try you. Your test is to make you better. And you should be able to praise God as he walks you through the process of making you better. Don't get bitter over a situation that's making you better. Your struggle is for your success.
Hallelujah.
One of my friends told me, man, you done walked away from your job, and man, you going through. Now you done lost your house, and you living with your parents, and that could have sent me the other way. Some people didn't know I was living with my parents. They think the preacher's life, oh, he got it all together. God said, I got to take you down before I could raise you up. How you going to reach people that are homeless if I don't make you homeless? How you going to reach people? Oh, goodness. I'm making you better, Felix. We get so capitalized because we have been looking at the world system for so long. We're trying to get ahead and get the fat dollar. I'm not going to tell you to stop working. No, don't do that. Keep working. Stay ambitious. Go be more for Christ. But don't let nothing make you put your head down. You have too much to let out of you. You are full of praise. Your praise, the devil is so mad at you. That's why he's been asking God to bring trouble to your life. Because he don't want you to praise. Here's some breaking news. You got revelation today. You're never going to be the same after this word. When you don't want to praise God, you're going to be praising him. I'm telling you, he's releasing a spirit of praise. You might be skipping down your block and folks wondering, what's it got into her? What ain't got into him? Because you're going to become a praiser, because there's a praise in you. There's a praise. There's a praise. So Jesus was on the way. He was coming. He wasn't there. But they were praising him. The Bible said, and in the other three Gospels, it said that they were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna is an exclamation of adoration. In other words, they were releasing the love that they had for God out of their mouth. They were saying unto the Lord, God, I love you. I know you're on your way. Hurry up and get here. I can't wait to lay a kiss on you. I miss you. Come on to me. When they began to praise him that way, he came in. And when he got there, the praise didn't stop. I got to stop for a moment and tell you. Next month, we won't be teaching on praise. But don't you let your praise stop. There's demonic spirits came in here today, and every one of them are fleeing. They are so messed up right now, and they're trembling. There's some that's been circling your block. Those jokers have packed up and left. They said, I'm going to go to another neighborhood because I know they're going to bring a praise back in this hood. And oh, goodness. And they know when the defeat is there, it's in you. Pastor Bill taught on praise, and he taught 10 definitions of praise. And in the Greek and the Hebrew, it breaks it down. And I'm not going to say all the words. You're going to have to go to one of his classes on Thursday night. But when he talks about praise, there's a praise of celebration. There's a praise just for who he is. There's a praise for his deliverance, for his refining. There is a crazy praise. There is an undignified praise. The Bible said David danced and came out of his clothes. I believe that was undignified. I'm here to tell you that the reason why David was so successful is because he knew how to praise God. Now, if you want success, stop talking about what's wrong. Don't even look at it no more. Let me share something with you. I got word that some things was going on as my daughter's away in college. I she's not underneath my roof anymore. I can't control what she do, but I know who can. So word came to me. What you gonna do, Dad? What you gonna do, babe? You know what I'm gonna do? I'm praise God. I don't know why what's going on is going on, but I'm gonna praise God. Why? Because he's the only one that could do something about it. Do you understand that all throughout the Bible, that praise signified victory before it happened? The walls of Jericho did not come down until the people began to praise. Hannah, was tormented because the other women were having babies and she couldn't have a baby because her womb was closed. And as long as she talked about what was wrong, God didn't do anything. But the moment she wandered herself into the temple and began to praise God. See, the Bible says she praised him crazy because the priest thought she was drunk. Listen, it wasn't no cute little praise. I'm going to just pray for a little minute. I believe, look, in these days, her stockings were ran. She had tore up everything. Makeup from the mat counter was all over her face. She was praising God. And when she praised God, he opened up her womb. All victory is in your praise. I don't care. I really don't. What's going wrong in your life? You're here today. I know what's going right in your life. Amen. That is the power of God is taking you over. If he's taking you over, he's all powerful and almighty. He's taking over the trouble that you've been focused on. And listen, the way the trouble leaves is going to be through your praise. Because when you turn to God away from it, God says, I inhabit the praise, which means he comes down into the praise, and whatever it is surrenders to the praise. And God will fix it if he could get a praise out of you. But you too focus on it, and you got to take your eyes and your heart and your mind off of it and put it on God and tell God, thank you. Now get this. You can't tell God thank you and go back and put your emotions into the trouble. That means you double-minded. If you believe God, your prayer life changes because no longer will you pray and ask God for anything without staying on your knees and telling him thank you. What are you thanking him for? Whatever you ask for. If you believe you've received it, I know you got enough manners to tell people thank you. Somebody give you something, you say thank you. If you believe that God's going to give you a way out of no way, you ought to tell him thank you. You didn't get yourself out of the last mess you got yourself into. It was God that came in the middle. Oh, God. The trouble that he allows, it's a buildup of praise. And you've been letting it build up and trying to take control of the buildup. But you got to let go and let it out before you pop. One way or another, there's going to be a loud noise under God. Whether you pop or whether you let it out. And letting it out means that you believe that only God is going to work this out for you.
Hallelujah.
He didn't allow it to happen so that you can get glory. So get your little self out of it. Believe that you've received it because that's the promise. And he said he's given you victory. Victory over what, preacher? Over everything. Whatever you can put up under the name of Jesus, you can claim victory over it. Whatever it is, put it up under Jesus. Just start putting it up under. It's up under Jesus. It's up under Jesus. Praise is so powerful. You didn't realize that through your praise, you can get victory over every situation in your life. Everyone. Why do you think there were armies 100 times bigger than David's army? But he won every battle because he was a praiser. If there's anything that's too big for you to fight, God, that's saying God is making you a praiser. How many of you need God to do something? That means you're a praiser. Quit trying to be cute and walk around like you got it all together. You might as well just get all crazy right about now and give God a crazy praise and let people call you nuts. Hey, let them call you crazy if they want to. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Listen, it's time for the church to understand and obtain the power of God that's in you. Tap into your resource. You are resourceful because King Jesus dwells in you. Now get this, get this. Can you imagine that little fold of a donkey? Can you imagine that Jesus got on his back? How blessed that little donkey must be. The King of Kings sat on the donkeys. Can you, would you like to just be that donkey? I mean, just to ride the king? Jesus, you can get on me. Can you imagine the King of Kings was on the donkey's back? Wasn't he blessed? Now check this out. You're more blessed than that because King Jesus rides inside of you. He was outside of him, but he said it's got to be personal with you, because he wants you to know that he takes you personal. You are personally his business, and he's going to work out everything so you don't have to work out nothing if you just trust in him. I want all the believers to give him a crazy praise. Now get this, we got some crazy radical folks for Jesus in here, and most of you didn't realize how radical you were. This just snuck up on you. That's what God said. He says, I placed it in you when I saved you, but you are equipped. And if you want, listen, I've learned that if I want God to move in anything in my life, the first thing I got to do is believe that he will. And when I believe that he will, I went nuts. I went nuts. You know, I used to sit in the front row at a church, and the praise team would be singing. I was in the front row, but I was believing God for something big. I was praising God with everything that I had. That when it came down after the praise and worship, I was sweating from head to toe. I was praising God so hard that the praise team director said, what's up with you? Because we can't even hear our monitor and you sing it all off key. But she said, it blesses me whether you on key or off key. That's what I want to tell you. You don't got to be on key to give God a praise. As a matter of fact, I want to get with some folks that are off key, that are just praise God no matter what key. It don't matter what key it is. The key is I'm praising God. I want to say this because you really need to understand that they were praising God because he was coming. Now get this, I believe, if they didn't praise, the reason why the rocks would have had to cry out, is because praise was what brought him all the way there. If it wasn't no praise, he never would have made it. Get the picture. He said he's there, but he's coming to your rescue. Your praise will get him all the way there. As a matter of fact, it'll even speed it up. Let me tell you a story. My son told me, I said earlier in the first service it was a water gun, but it was a he paraphrased it as a BB gun. He told me one day, he said, Dad, he called me, he was at the store, he said, Dad, can you buy me a BB gun? I said, a BB gun? He's two. But he can articulate. He said, Dad, can you buy me a BB gun? He sees one at the store. I said, let me speak to Caritha. Put her on the phone. I said, what are you talking about, BB gun? She says, he sees a little Nerf gun. And he called it a BB gun. So he says, Dad, can you buy me one? I said, sure, son. I can buy you a BB gun. He comes home. Biggest smile ever. Daddy! Hi, Daddy. Thank you. Because you buy me a BB gun. I mean, he began to praise me instantly because he believed that he was going to get a BB gun. So the next day, we got up early in the morning. He didn't even ask for breakfast. He said, Dad, thank you for my BB gun. It blessed me so much. I told my wife, I said, this kid, he really wants a BB gun. She said, a BB gun? I said, he's calling it a Nerf gun. I said, and he keeps thanking me. I told him, I said, I'm going to get you the gun, son, and when I get paid. He said, when you get paid? I said, 2 weeks. He said, okay. The next day, second day, he said, Dad, thank you for my BB gun. He said, I'm getting the BB gun. And then he grabbed my leg and he began to hug me. And I said, wow. He said, Dad, when is 2 weeks? I said, it's coming, son. He said, okay. Later on in the day, he was talking about a baby. The third day, he wakes up in the morning. Dad! I'm getting the baby gun. I called him dry. I said, look, I'm going down to Target. Let's go get a BB gun. That what I'm trying to tell you is on the third day, we went and bought him that BB gun. Because he was praising for what he believed was going to happen. And that's how powerful your praise is. Please. Next time the enemy tries to get you to talk about that something that's going wrong, begin to see God so much bigger than that, that you start talking about God's going to work this out better than I could ever plan it. Because his word has promised me that he'll do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I can think or imagine. And if you believe that, listen, the God that saved us, is his saving power doesn't stop at giving you salvation. It didn't stop. It's continuously working to save you from even stuff you don't know is coming your way, saving you. There's so much favor. Say, I have favor. You got to know this without a doubt. People tell me, oh, you got to do this and you got to do that. Oh, so-and-so is so very sick. I got so much favor on me, I ain't worried about getting sick. The bomb in Gilead lives in me. Worry about getting sick. I know he has given me good health. Amen. And he wouldn't have brought me in contact. I've been around folks, everybody getting sick, but God's favor is over my life. How do I know? Because I believe that it is. Amen. And when we attach our belief system to what he says rather than what's going on, in the natural, you serve a supernatural God. The natural things we can accomplish. The supernatural. How many of you got a situation that only God can change? That's why he wanted you to get revelation about the praise that he's put in you. And today is the day that you have recognized how powerful you are. And so now, it's not only today, but as often as the Spirit moves you, let it out.